Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Good morning. Thank you, Phil and Linda, for leading us in songs of praise and worship this morning. Thanks for joining us online this day. You've successfully navigated the time change. Congratulations. And I give you permission, if you get a little sleepy, to nudge the person beside you to make sure everyone stays awake. Just a quick reminder before we jump in. Tomorrow night is our online communion service on Zoom. These have been such rich times of gathering together, praying together, worshiping together, and then sharing the Lord's Supper together. We hope that you will join us tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and the link for that is in the e-bulletin. Well, today we are jumping back into our series, Scattered, from the letter of 1 Peter, after that break last Sunday when we celebrated the induction of Tyler as our lead pastor. And if you happen to miss that service, you can look at that online and find the links there on our website. In this series, Scattered, Tyler will be finishing up this series next Sunday, and then we'll be celebrating Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. So much to look forward to, and we hope that you will be with us for all of those. Today, we are looking at 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 12 through 19. As Peter continues to help us grapple with how we are to navigate difficult, painful, even unjust situations that we might find ourselves in. This has been Peter's main theme throughout this letter, and he has layered truth upon truth and concept upon concept to help us gain a right and godly perspective on suffering. And I've entitled my message today, Perspective Matters. Perspective matters. That is how we look at things, how we consider things, how we perceive things matters. Sometimes there is little we can do about our circumstances, but we can do something about how we look at our circumstances. Someone has said, if you don't like something, change it. And if you can't change it, then change how you think about it. How we think about things matters. Perception matters. And especially when that perception is informed and shaped by the inspired truth of God's Word. So, let's dig in. I'm going to read the passage right through, and then we will look at several perspectives that Peter teaches in this passage. So again, 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 12, I would encourage you to follow along in your own Bible or app or whatever you're using, and keep it open as we follow through this passage, but the scriptures will be on screen as well. Beginning at verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Let's just bow for a word of prayer and invite God's Spirit to help us. Father God, thank you for gathering us together this day, wherever we are, whatever our context may be, whatever our situation in life may be, you know it, and you know us. And by your Spirit, you have allowed us to be here together today, hearing and reflecting on these words. And we invite your Spirit to teach and help and guide us this day, that your name might be glorified throughout the world and in and through our lives. Help us this day by your Spirit. Help us, we pray. For in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking at six perspectives that are brought out in this passage. And the first is anticipate suffering. Anticipate suffering. Verse 12 states, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. See, in effect, Peter is saying, difficulties, trials, pain, even suffering, that's normal. That's normal. If you're going through a time of ease, feel like everything is good, life couldn't be better, that's abnormal. We are not in heaven. We are living in a broken, fallen, corrupt world. Maybe Peter is recalling Jesus' words to his disciples recorded in John 16:33. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world you will have trouble. It's not the final world word, but it's reality. And it's our reality now. We're in a troubled world. Now, I want to point out that Peter uses a graphic word in that verse translated as fiery ordeal. It's a word often used in the refining of metal. It's an image that Peter has already used in the first chapter of this letter when he said that in trials, our faith of greater worth than gold is being refined in the fire. You see, Peter is saying, this is the normal process in the journey of faith. You see, not only in the brokenness and fallenness and corruption and injustices of the world are difficulties the norm, but in the journey of faith, suffering is the normative path for faith refinement. So, we should anticipate it. It's normal. Now, in our love of comfort and ease, these are not easy truths to hear, are they? But if we have the perspective that difficulties are normal, then they won't shake our faith when they come. We should anticipate them. Don't be surprised. But the next thing moves our perspective to an even higher ground, and that is rejoice in suffering. Look at verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. Rejoice in suffering. Now listen, Peter is not saying, be happy you're suffering. Be happy you're in pain. Be happy about injustice. He's saying, he's inviting us, I believe, to take a deeper look at our suffering. Why you are suffering. What's beyond your suffering. He's saying, if you can grasp, get your heads around this perspective, then you can even rejoice in the midst of your sufferings. And what is that perspective? Well, it's twofold in this verse. Increased fellowship with Christ now, and increased joy when Jesus returns. You see, Peter teaches here, as did the Apostle Paul, that somehow our suffering is also Christ's suffering. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 and 11. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation or fellowship in his sufferings, becoming like in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. You see, when we suffer, particularly for the sake of Christ, because of our witness for Christ, there is this beautiful sense that Christ suffers with us, and we are suffering with him. We are in it together, and we are being more deeply united with him we suffer. What a perspective. When we suffer, we are to think about Christ's ultimate suffering for the sins of the world and for our sins, and know that Christ knows your pain and is with you. And not only that, this anticipates the overflowing joy when Jesus returns in glory and power. Our suffering is not the end of the story. Jesus has and will overcome the world, even death itself. And so suffering is the precursor to a glorious ending, which will in fact be a new beginning. Perspective matters. Look at and consider your suffering through this lens, and you can even rejoice in your sufferings. Peter presses this even further, says, not only can you rejoice, but in actual fact, you're blessed. Look at verse 14. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Being a Christian, saying that you believed in Jesus as the Messiah or Christ, was not a popular, sociable, acceptable thing for these scattered first century believers that Peter is writing to. And it would seem increasingly that that is true for us in the 21st century. I see no signs that the popularity of being a Christian is going up in our North American society. I believe that we can anticipate that letting people know we believe in and follow Jesus, the Jesus revealed in the Scriptures, not some watered-down, unbiblical version of Jesus, but the biblical Jesus, is going to frequently be met with ridicule, with challenge, with mocking, with insult. Not always, certainly not. But sometimes. And if it does, then we need to hide this verse in our hearts and minds. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Blessed. Where would Peter get such a crazy idea? Well, maybe from the words of Jesus himself, who said this: blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And Peter adds On top of that, this beautiful perspective, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. You see, even though you may not be aware of it, conscious of it, God's glory is being revealed through you as you give faithful witness to Jesus. What a perspective. When we are willing to be insulted for the name of Christ, we will not receive less. We will receive more. Blessed. Will it be pleasant? Absolutely not. Will there be real pain from rejection, ridicule, whatever? Absolutely. But that is not all. That's not the perspective. Far from it. God sees and knows and will be with us in it. In fact, counterintuitively, we will actually receive more of God. We are and will be blessed. Maybe more than ever in all of our lifetimes, we need to encourage and remind each other of these powerful and relevant words for our day. But there's more. Let's keep going. Verse 15 and 16. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. In suffering, don't be ashamed. Now, Peter says there are good reasons why you might suffer and should be ashamed. If the reason for your suffering is just punishment or carrying on in a way that is ungodly. And this word translated meddler, well, it's actually a very rare word. The Greek word behind it only occurring once in the whole New Testament. Some suggest Peter might have even made up this word. And it could also be translated as a spy or a revolutionist. It's probably a bit stronger than simply the idea of being a busybody. But the point is clear. There are just reasons to suffer. But if you are suffering because of your witness for Christ, then Peter says, don't let that bring you down. Wear it as a badge of honor. Don't cower. Take a higher view. Turn to God in praise for the honor of suffering for His name's sake. If you're like me, this is not easy stuff. I like to be liked. I think most people do. And it's kind of normal to be like that. But, we are called to a higher level of living and purpose than simply having people like us. Our passion and purpose as followers of Jesus is to be His witnesses, to live and to speak differently, to bear His name in word and action. And sometimes, that is going to simply rub people the wrong way. It may even be downright offensive to their beliefs and their understanding. And these scriptures are reminding us today that that's how it's always been and will always be until Christ returns. So don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. But praise God that you bear the name of Jesus, who gave his life for you. And Peter continues that the reason we need to do that is there's actually more going on than you might think. And he leads us into an eternal perspective. For you see, we need a long-range view. Let's read on, verse 17 and 18. For, Peter says, it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Peter kind of makes his point in verse 17 and then backs it up by quoting Proverbs 11:31. And what is that point? Well, first, it is to look at your suffering as a reminder and preparation for the judgment to come. And judgment begins with God's household. You see, Peter, well versed in Old Testament scriptures, knew that there was a pattern in the prophets' teaching, whether that was Ezekiel, Zechariah, Malachi. They all taught that when God's judgment comes, it begins with God's people and then spreads outward to the nations. Now, keep in mind, judgment does not necessarily mean condemnation. When he says judgment begins with the house of God, he's not thinking of condemnation. You see, Peter is clear that those who have put their faith in the gospel have been granted eternal life. But he is saying we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Judgment comes for all, just not condemnation for all. And so, suffering now reminds us of the judgment that is to come and to be ready. In fact, through suffering, it works to purify us. It's telling us, get your house in order. But Peter does make another sobering point here and says, in effect, if you think your suffering is bad, think about the suffering that awaits those who have not put their faith in God, who have not put their trust in Jesus. The suffering we experience now is nothing compared with what's to come. And what is that to do? Well, that increases the urgency and the importance of our witness, that others might truly come to know Christ and escape the judgment to come. It is a sobering perspective, an eternal perspective that we are to think about in our trials. I hope that throughout the trial of this pandemic, you have taken time to think about your eternity, your readiness to meet Jesus face to face. If you are not right with God, now is the time. Now is the time. Judgment begins with the house of God. But a greater judgment is yet to come. Are you ready? Peter then sums it all up in verse 19. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. You see, the perspective, the mindset, the approach we need in the midst of suffering at its most basic is to trust God and keep going. Trust God and keep going. The temptation for all of us in the midst of trials is to doubt God, to doubt that He's good, to doubt that He is in charge, to doubt that He sees and knows what you're going through, and to give up or withdraw, become selfish, retreat into yourselves. Some of us know that temptation. And Peter says, don't give in to that. Commit yourselves, recommit yourselves, renew your resolve to follow God and keep doing what's right, even when everything in you is tempted to say, who cares? What does it matter what I do or say? What does it matter? You see, that is a lie. Your life matters. Your perspective matters. For your perspective will dictate not only how you think, but how you live. So what is your perspective? Peter teaches, anticipate suffering. Rejoice. Know that you are blessed. Don't be ashamed. Prepare for eternity. Trust and keep going. That is a faith perspective that could only be grasped and lived by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit living in us. And that Spirit renews our minds to grasp this perspective. So would you join me in prayer now as we invite His Spirit to help us and to even change us, to continue to live for Him. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for these words of wonderful perspective, but not easy perspectives. Help us. Help us. We invite You to renew our minds, to see our lives, to see what's going on in our world, to see even suffering and trials and difficulty themselves through these perspectives, that they might help us to rejoice, to help us to know we are blessed, to help us not be ashamed, to help us to trust and keep going, to trust that one day we will be in Your presence for eternity. Father, if there is anyone right now who has not put their faith in You, who is not ready to meet You face to face, Father, may they open their heart to You, receive You, put their faith in You, trust in You. Father, for all of us now, we surrender to You. Fill us anew. Fill us afresh. Empower us to live for You. For in the name of Jesus we would pray. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church. So we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.